Hey, welcome to the show. It's Stephanie Staples, and we are here trying to give you some ideas, some insights, some inspiration for better living. And that's exactly what we plan to do later in the hour. You are going to hear from Ejanti Mizagero. He is a mover and shaker in Manitoba and beyond. And also, we are going to be speaking with Tim Herson. He's the author of Think Better, An Innovator's Guide to Productive Thinking. So, your brain might be a little bit on holiday mode, but if you think you might be ready to crank it up a notch, listen in and we'll get some great tips from him. So this week I was inspired, and if you've been following the Love Everywhere Project, we're on about day 428 today, I think. So you can check it out on Facebook if you're a Facebook person, a Love Everywhere Project. So we are trying to capture ideas that inspire and things that are showing love and beautiful, kind things in the world and great ideas to give us some inspiration. And what I learned yesterday was that I did a Habitat for Humanity build. And there's always so much to learn. I think we should do a whole show about that. And what I loved was the leaders. They were so gentle and kind and instructional. So they didn't just tell you what to do. They told you why to do it and how to do it and let you do it. And I thought that was pretty cool, especially when we're just there for the day. They didn't have to tell us all the why behind everything. But it's funny how once you learn the rationale for things, it makes you want to do them better and understand them better. But one of the house leaders told me that his family did a family reunion, a Habitat build. So instead of just getting together for the typical family annual barbecue, they decided to all meet at a house build. And everybody was there, from kids right on up to the 80-year-old uncle, and everybody had a role, took a role in building this house for people that were in need. And I just thought, what a great and creative way to bring your family together to bond and talk over something different and helping each other. And then they had their big family barbecue after. And he said it was all in tribute to their Oma, who was kind of the inspiration behind their family doing good things for other people. So I also thought it'd be neat, like if you're having a birthday, to do like a birthday build instead of a birthday party. Like what if you gathered all your friends up and everybody came for a build? I think that would be, if my birthday's in November, I'm not quite sure how to arrange that, but we might have to do something early. But I thought it was a great idea, and you don't have to look far around this city or whatever city you're listening from to find inspiration. Just talk to people. They're doing amazing, amazing things. So we've got a great show coming up for you. I want to send a big shout out to the Fort Garry Hotel. For only starting at $149, you can do the bed, breakfast, and yoga pack. You will be a hero with the person you love. Also, it'd be a great wedding gift or a special treat for somebody. They've got the Wi-Fi 24/7. You can get tea, biscotti to your room, to your door, anytime, any day. They got the 46-inch smart screen TVs, and you can upgrade to the Sunday brunch if you like. Love it there at the Fort Garry Hotel. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Big thank you to First Impressions Hair and Skin.ca. They always leave you looking and feeling great there in Aveda Salon. We are on the air with Tim Herson, the author of Think Better, An Innovator's Guide to Productive Thinking. Tim, welcome to, virtually to Winnipeg.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's a pleasure virtually to be there.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about how this book came to be and why it should be important to us.
Okay. I've been interested in creative thinking really pretty much my whole life. I had a little boutique agency in the 90s, and I was the creative director of it. And one of the things that I noticed, when I say agency, I mean an advertising and communication agency. And one of the things I noticed was that we would sit around with clients and our own staff, and some of the people would just be bubbling with ideas. It was just pop, 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 pop. And other people who were just as smart, and actually just as, extroverted, wouldn't. And so the question that, sort of plagued me was, what's the difference? What's going on here? So I started to do a lot of research, both street research and academic research, and came up with some reasons and some ways to stimulate people to be more creative, regardless of where they start.
Cool.
So that was my background. That's where I came from.
So why is it important for us to think better, and how do you know we're not already thinking good?
You know, I was told a story some time ago from a guy who did some work in schools in Arizona, and he was being given a tour of one of the schools, and he and the principal came, he was a psychologist who was working with the schools, and he and the principal came upon two boys who were fighting in the, near the lockers, and you know, wang, and they were, you know, beating each other up. And the principal took them into his office and sat them down and sort of calmed them down. And he turned to the one kid. He said, "Brian, you know, why did you hit Tommy like that?" And the kid looked up and said, "Because I couldn't think of anything else to do." Wow. But, you know, I mean, yeah, but it is. Like, I laughed, you know, too. But when you think about it, wow, how much do we do in our lives? How much, you know, pain do we cause? How many wrong roads do we take? Because we couldn't think of anything else to do. And wouldn't it be great if you could think of other things to do, if you could give yourself options to do things better, to think things better, to make a future that is not just, you know, carved in stone for you, but you could actually change. And so that's why I think that the creative thinking process is, you know, one of the most important things that human beings can do.
I like that question. What if you could think of better things to do? Maybe we don't challenge ourselves enough. And even, you know, I was thinking about what you said about yourself being a creative director. Like, maybe we are all creative directors of our own life, right? We don't think of it that way, but we are kind of our own directors.
Well, we are. And here's the really cool thing. We all have the capability of getting better, of being better. You know, a lot of people think that creativity is this, you know, God tapped you on the forehead and said, "You're creative, mm-hmm. you're not, you are, and you're not, you have more." Not true. We all have this capability. Some of us, sort of by luck, by chance, have, you know, developed a way of enhancing that. Others haven't, but there are structures that all of us can use to think better. And, you know, when I say that to audiences, sometimes I see people in the audience, they cross their arms across their chest, and it's kind of like, "Oh yeah," I'm thinking as well as I possibly can right now. Look at me. But would anyone say that about playing a game of golf? I play the best game of golf I could play. I play the best game of tennis. I run as well as I possibly can. No, nobody would say that.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Everybody knows that in the physical world, you can get better with some training, some, you know, skill development, all that. So why not, you know, with your head? Of course you can. Of absolutely course you can.
Yeah, and creativity takes different forms as well. I think a lot of us think of it only as one. We often think of it as the one realm that we're not good at, you know, if it's music or art or something like that. But creativity takes many, many different forms.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, your show is a perfect example. You can live a creative life. You don't have to know how to play music to live a creative life. You don't have to know how to paint a picture to live a creative life. All you have to do is to be able to think of new options, new ways of doing things, productive ways of doing things that are going to make a positive difference. And that's a skill.
Yeah, and as with all skills, it takes practice. I think one of the things that stops a lot of people from doing this and a lot of other things, it sounds hard. It's way easier not to. It's way easier to stay with the status quo. So is it hard to think better, Tim?
Well, you know, like anything, any skill, you know, you're not going to look at a musician, you're not going to look at an artist and not understand that a lot of time went into developing where they got to. So, yeah, there is definitely there's work involved, there's no doubt. Having said that, there are also some incredibly simple tools that people can use and get better at using, and I think that's important too, to immediately start opening up their horizons. So I'll give you one right now.
We love incredibly simple tools. Bring them on.
Good. I'm an incredibly simple tool sometimes. So here's one. You know, we look at problems that we have, and we, you know, often automatically come up with, "Oh, well, here's the problem, I should do that." And we, you know, we sort of go along a patterned track that we have. But what if instead of doing that, you looked at the problem, and you drew a, it's kind of a T-square, T-shaped thing on a piece of paper. On one side of the T of the, you know, in the left-hand column, you wrote the word "no" on the top, K-N-O-W. And on the other side, you wrote the word "wonder." And what you did is you just went down and you made a list. And you said, "What are all the things I know about this situation, this problem?" And you didn't worry about whether they were right, whether they were wrong. "This is what I think I know about this problem." And then you move to the other side. Say, "What do I wonder about this problem? Stuff that I don't know about it, but would be kind of important or maybe cool if I did." And you write a list there. Well, just doing that one thing gives you so much more fodder, ammunition, you know, territory to explore about that problem rather than, you know, snapping to that immediate kind of a response. Anybody can do this. And it doesn't take a whole lot of training to do it. What takes the training is to literally make the list without stopping. So one of the things that you want to do is you want to make the list and not, you know, look at each one you thing that you write down and say, oh, I shouldn't have said that, and you know, be critical of it. Just write it down.
So no judging.
Get it out. No judging. So it's kind of what I like to call shower thinking. You know, when we're in the shower, we're all bubbling with ideas, right? Everybody. But what's the big problem with the shower? You step outside of the shower and you forgot the world's greatest idea that you had, right?
Okay. So I just on that note, I have to just share my best shower tip ever because that is where I get all my great ideas. And I keep a dry erase marker in the bathroom. And so as soon as I get out of the shower, like you should see my bathroom mirror. It's pretty embarrassing. But anyways, there's notes and ideas and pictures all over my bathroom mirror because if I don't write it down as soon as I get out of the shower, it's like it just disappears as soon as I walk out of the bathroom.
It is so true, Stephanie. So one of the other principles is take notes. And when I say take notes, people sometimes think, well, I should take notes, you know, what my professor is saying or what my boss is saying. That's not true at all. Take notes about what you're saying, what you're thinking. That's the stuff that's important to remember. Because you know what? Your professor's notes, you can get them somewhere else.
Right.
Your boss's notes, he's got them in a memo somewhere, or she's got them in a memo somewhere.
And I have read that some of the best thinkers have like notebooks all over the place and books full of notebooks on their shelves and that they found them after they've been gone and whatever, just full of random ideas.
Leonardo da Vinci, considered one of the greatest, you know, geniuses ever. One of the things he's most famous for, really, is his notebooks. Mm-hmm. Tons of notebooks. Edison, tons of notebooks. Stuff that he wanted not to forget. You know, and we all have that. Everybody has great ideas. Everybody.
Yeah.
Write them down.
Yeah, and I always have a notebook in my car and on my night table and.
Okay,
yeah,
don't write in the notebook while you're driving.
Not while you're driving, but I have been known to get a honk at a red light because I'm jotting something down. It's happened.
I'm sure.
So what's been kind of the best thing about putting this book out? What kind of changes have you seen from people? And is it more work changes, personal changes, both?
Wow. You know, one of the things that I do when I give talks is I often ask audiences in the beginning how many people think that think of themselves as being creative, and ask people to raise their hands. You get maybe, I don't know, a quarter, a third, sometimes as many as a half of the people in the audience will raise their hands, but the others won't. They'll kind of sit on their hands, and then we'll go through literally, 90 minutes or something like that. You know, not a long time. A few examples, a few exercises, a few back and forths. And then I ask the question again at the end. How many people think of themselves as creative human beings?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Everybody raises their hands. That's the best. Right there. That's the best.
So maybe we just need an opportunity to put it into practice.
There's no question about it. There's no question about it. We have often been taught, trained, that we are not creative, or that we are creative, but we're not supposed to be creative. Remember those tests you used to do when you were in school? A cup is to a saucer like a house is to a blank. You know
mm-hmm.
that one?
Yep, analogies.
Well, one right answer was supposedly the only one, right? There was a right answer in that multiple choice. That's nonsense. A creative person can probably rationalize every single one of those other answers. And I don't mean rationalize in a bad sense. So you ask any kid, anybody who's ever taken a test like that, they'll all say the same thing. You know, I could have thought of another answer. It seemed just as good to me. Of course it seemed just as good to you because it was just as good.
Right.
So we've been trained out of creativity. We've been trained to squelch it. We've all got it. We've all got it.
We just need to nurture it a little bit more.
You need to say hello to it in the morning, you know?
Oh, I'll say hello to it. You know what? That could be the best relationship advice ever, is that there is always, you know, more than one right answer, right? So if you and I are in a confrontation, or that could be a different way of applying creative thinking, even in your relationships, is that, you know, your answer might be right, but my answer might be right too. You know, they're just different. Doesn't mean one is right, one is wrong, but there's always more than one right answer.
There's a first right answer. There's a third right answer. There's a hundredth right answer. There's tons of right answers. And the thing is to try to find one that works in the case of a negotiation for both parties, or in case of a marriage, you know, that works for the entire family. There are tons of right answers, but we often just stop at the first one we think about. So we assume that the other ones aren't.
Gotcha. So is your wife, speaking of relationships, is your wife a think better person too, or do you drive her crazy?
I couldn't have written the book without her.
Oh, nice.
So yes, the answer is yes. She's a way better, think better person than I am.
Maybe not think better, but think different.
We're going to take a break.
We'll be back in a moment with Tim Herson and more about Think Better on Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples with the Your Life Unlimited quick tip of the week. Have you noticed that this year is more than half over? I know it's crazy, and you know how fast summer goes. So I'm asking you this. Are you more than halfway to reaching your goals for 2014? Have you taken time to congratulate and celebrate your successes so far this year? This week, I want you to consider making a list of at least 5 positive changes you've made so far. Open a file on your computer right now, label it my success list or something cool like that, and put 5 items on that list. Don't underestimate the power of putting this list in writing. By doing so, you're going to send a message to yourself that you're worth the time and energy. Your self-worth increases, the world responds accordingly, and you become a magnet for better life experiences. If you're not halfway to reaching your goals this year, what are you waiting for? The best time to start is now. Big thank you to TiberRiver.ca. Oh my gosh, I just had a facial there this weekend. I know maybe I don't look it, but I feel like 7.5 years younger for sure. So check them out, TiberRiver.ca, 408 Academy, 1650 Keniston Road. If you haven't been to a Mo Mondays yet, oh my gosh, where have you been? August 11th is the next date in Winnipeg. Check out MoMondays.com for an event near you for $10. Best thing you can do on a Monday night for sure. We've got one coming up in Toronto. And speaking of that, Tim Herson is from Toronto. He is joining us here, timherson.com. He is the author of Think Better, An Innovator's Guide to Professional Thinking. You've also been a speaker at Mo Mondays, Tim.
I have, many times, in fact. I love it. It's great fun.
It's great fun, inspiring, innovating, and it does make you think differently for sure. So check out my website, yourlifeunlimited.ca. Go to the events page for tickets, and we will look forward to seeing you there. So Tim, one of the things, you know, I've heard a lot about the personal and professional growth world. There's a word in your book that I had not heard before, and the word is in training, E-N-T-R.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so what that is everybody's had this experience, particularly people at work. You know, they go out to these courses, they get patted on the back, everybody feels really nice. And they go back to the cube where they work, and everything's gone. You know, like it's business as usual. And all that kind of that interest, that excitement that was happening during the training disappears. So wouldn't it be great if you could actually keep that? You know, sometimes I think that all these things are is like little perks getting out of the office for a while. But wouldn't it be great if you could actually use that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So the way you use it is quite a disciplined process. So in my field, the creativity field, one of the key things is you got to get the senior people to buy in. If the senior people don't buy in, you're in trouble. Why? Because every time you're being creative, every single time you come up with a creative idea, you're also destroying an old idea.
Mm.
Now, that seems a little counterintuitive, but there's something you're replacing. And people love the old stuff. You know, it's warm and fuzzy and nice and comfortable. So unless the senior folks in your organization or your department or whatever it is are 100% on board with you, then you're going to be a threat to other people. And as a result of that, the creativity will be stifled. So one thing you have to do in terms of end training is get people at the senior level to more than buy in, but to actively support. So creativity is not an okay thing to do, a nice thing to do. It's like a required thing to do. Do it. The other thing is we teach people how to, you know, think in particular ways, and they go back to the office sometimes or back to home, and they say, you know, I'm going to tackle the biggest problem that I have in my life. Big mistake. You know, it's like learning to ride a bike, you know, for the first, you know, week, and then say, well, I'm going to do a major bike rally or major bike race. It's not going to happen. In fact, you're going to feel really, really, you'll feel like a failure. And so you won't continue it. So what you want to do is you want to start small, take small steps, start with easy stuff, get used to this, train yourself. And then start getting small wins, then bigger and bigger and bigger, until finally this is a kind of thing that feels comfortable for you. It's exactly the same as training yourself for a kind of a physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
So this end training is more than just, you know, a hypodermic needle in your arm and saying, oh, now you've got this thing, go back to work and use it. It's not going to happen. You have to literally work at it to entrain the skill so that it becomes a natural skill and a natural attitude in you. That's what it means.
Makes sense. Thanks for explaining it to me. Now I don't feel so dumb. You know what? I have no problem asking. When you don't know, ask, right? And usually when you ask, there's a whole bunch of other people that are wondering the same question and just didn't have the courage to ask. So that's
absolutely. There's only one kind of dumb question, and it's the literal meaning of dumb, and it's the question that's not asked. Ask the question.
Very good. Very good. Will do. Okay, so you have got something coming up that I'm super pumped and excited about. It's not just because I get to speak there, but it's called Mind Camp, and I bet a lot of people haven't heard about it. So give us a little talk about Mind Camp in a nutshell.
Really cool. So Mind Camp is an annual 4-day creativity retreat. We've got people coming from all over the world, and by all over the world, I mean all over the world.
It's crazy.
Folks coming from New Zealand to present, from Korea, from South America, a whole bunch of Italians, my favorite people in the world.
Are you saying that because you know my maiden name?
I don't, but I love Italian food. That's why. And there'll be about 220 of us, and we gather together, and we literally just exchange ideas. We share experiences. Some of us are, you know, professionals in the field. A lot of us are people who are just interested. A lot of kids coming. We got a kids program as well. It takes place in north of Toronto in a place called Geneva Park, which is where the famous Kuching conferences are held every year on a beautiful big lake. And it's way, way fun.
So it's like it's a conference, but it's at a camp, which, I mean, how right there, you're thinking different, you're dressed different, you're acting different. I'm totally pumped about it. It's on August 20th. So if you're still looking for some holiday plans, what a cool thing to do. Check. What's the website for that? Is it to Mind?
Real simple. It's MindCamp. That's MINDCAMP.org. Yep. That's it.
Totally pumped about that. And thanks for putting that together. That is the way to think different, right? How our conference is usually, how can I make, it sounds like an unconference.
Well, people say they've never been to a conference like it. And, you know, we are usually sold out months and months ahead. But what we do is always keep a few spaces in reserve for, you know.
Special people. Say you, tell them you heard it here first.
People like you.
I think I might have a spare cot in my bunk.
There you go.
So you've got a new book that's just come out too. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, I love this one. This is called Never Be Closing. Anybody who's been involved in sales or heard about sales or seen Glenn Ross knows the phrase "always be closing." So this is a book about ethical sales. It's not about pressuring people into buy. And what it is basically is taking this creative process that we've been talking about and applying it to a really, really practical part of the world, which is the part of the world where people sell. Now, some people say, I'm not a salesperson. And my response to that is, you're fooling yourself. Everybody sells.
Yep.
Everybody
we want to
sells.
Go to where I want to go for a vacation. I'm trying to sell you. Absolutely. Tim Herson, thank you so much for sharing your gifts. Pick up his book, Think Better, An Innovator's Guide to Productive Thinking. There's some great tools and tips. And you know what? It will get you thinking of something a little bit different in a different way. And that can't be bad at all. Back in a moment. Here's your fit tip of the week brought to you by vivacityfitness.ca. Sometimes it's hard to take away things from your diet when you're trying to eat better and healthier. So instead, what you might want to do is add something to your diet. So add an extra glass of water, add an extra salad per day, add an extra vegetable with each meal. Sometimes that's a little bit easier. It works for me. Anyways, I am excited to reintroduce you to Jean-Tim Misagero. Sorry. Now I practiced before we went live too, and I got it wrong. But he is a 2014 Top 25 Immigrant of the Year Award winner. Congratulations! This is huge.
It is. Thank you very much.
It means a lot.
Oh, it's huge. Okay, so tell us a little bit about you. What's going on? How did this happen? And I know you love Winnipeg. We did a whole at Mo Mondays. We did a whole ode to Manitoba song.
Mm-hmm. Well, how this happened is. First of all, I was nominated. I didn't know about the award itself. And two wonderful people nominated me. One is Janine Lega, and the other one is Kevin Gibson.
Great people.
Great, wonderful people. So then I was given a call. Oh, you were nominated among Top Canadian Immigrants Award. So you are now chosen among Top 75, and the public has to vote for their favorite Top 25.
I think Arlene Dickinson was in that list too.
She was. And so many other great people, wonderful people that I met in Toronto. It was just such overwhelming and a great way to feel like, you know, my work has been recognized, and it feels great, just especially when you don't expect it.
Yeah.
Just work hard, and at the end of the day, they tell you, oh, thank you. That's all we need.
And you know what? Even for the people that take time to nominate people for awards like this, I just want to send a big shout out to people that do that. Because it's nice to think about it,
right.
But people that actually take that pen to paper, take some time out of their day and write that down, amazing. So music is your life. You've come from a background in that, a musical family, and now you're taking that to the next level. What's on the... And you didn't bring your guitar. Shame on you.
I wish I did. Next time I will.
Though. Okay.
Well, music has been, it's been just part of me, and I've been in studio for the whole year, I would say, working on a new EP, which is coming out soon, next month, on 22nd of August.
So we're having a party.
Oh, yeah. Big party, big celebration. It will be at West End Cultural Center, and I'll be really performing, like... Yeah, my best. I'll be doing my best on that show.
All your stuff is your best. And it's such feel-good music. What I love about your music, it's so feel-good and real and genuine and authentic. Check out his website, gentil.ca, gentil.ca.
That's right.
You'll be able to find out more information if you're in Winnipeg. Make sure you check that out on August 22nd.
Yeah.
So what do you want? Like, what do you think attributed to you winning this award? What would you want other immigrants to know?
Well, first of all, is like for this award, they choose people from different categories. I think we're like two musicians. Everybody else, they did different things. To my side, I would say when I came here in Canada, I never wasted time. I took a step in the very first month getting out there, talk to people, whoever I meet at any event, any place on the street, as long as meet someone, introduces me to someone else, I would just take the first step to let them know who I am.
Ah.
I would say, my name is Gentil, I'm a musician, even if I'm not in a performance event.
Okay, so just, you never know who knows somebody who knows
exactly,
somebody, right?
Yeah. And even the other thing is I took time to build the friendship with everybody that I meet, to take it very serious and very important, to take everybody as so important, because you never know who you're meeting. And so through that, I had to create so many friends around me in a short period of time who connected me to other places, to the media, to the companies, to this and that.
So it was about building relationships.
Yes.
Which is great advice, whether you're a new immigrant or not.
Uh-huh.
Right? What you said. Don't waste time.
Yeah.
Take a step.
Yeah.
Build the relationships.
Right.
That's great advice, no matter who you are
and
where you're from.
Give everybody the time that as...
Everybody's important.
Is important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what letters are after their name or not after their name.
No.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so the other thing I'd like to know is, because I did this habitat build yesterday, the people that we were building for were new immigrants. They were there building the house right side by side with us. Mm-hmm. What can we do as Canadians to help new immigrants? What can we do to make them feel more welcome, to help integrate them to our culture?
First of all, I would say, like, for those who are already doing it, keep doing it, because it's already great.
Yeah.
For me, I love this country. I always say it all the time, and this province too. Everybody, I think to my experience, everybody's nice. I was talking to this lady in Toronto when I went to receive the award, and she was so amazed, because we met in the bus and sat together and started talking and chatting. So we got to know each other, and she noticed how much I appreciate this country, how much I've been so grateful. And she said it was the first time to hear someone who's not complaining.
Oh, yeah.
As a new immigrant.
Really?
Yeah. It was so shocking. Whereby for me, I've never heard of people complaining as well. So it opened my mind to know that really some people there don't appreciate what's happening. But to my experience, I've noticed that I think every Canadian is good. Maybe those that I've met. Everybody's so nice. So I would say keep doing what you're doing. And the next thing, which I think they would take step, is this. They have to understand that when we come here, we have language barriers as well. We have culture shock. We don't know how to approach Canadians when we come here. So there's that fear in every newcomer of what to do next. So I would encourage, like, just Canadians to keep that in mind and take step. Like, just ask people.
Yes.
Like that question. If you ask me now, what can I do for you? I'll be like, bring me to the show.
Take a step.
Take a step, yeah.
All right, check out John T. Mizaguero, johnt.ca. And if you're in Winnipeg, we want to see you on August 22nd at the West End Cultural Center. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. You've been listening to Your Life Unlimited. If you like what you're hearing, check out more, yourlifeunlimited.ca. Love to come into your worksite to help you with your coaching. It's never a better time. Now is the best time to live Your Life Unlimited. I've been speaking with John T. Mizaguero. Give us your one piece of advice. If there was just one thing you could let people know, what would that be?
One will be actually, your future is made up by what you do today, not tomorrow.
Oh, your future is made up by what you do today, not tomorrow. Great advice. And it's not because of what you did yesterday. Tim Herson, yes. Your turn.
Okay. Well, Steph, you talked about that list you wanted people to make, that five-item list of accomplishments or goals for the year. When you write that list, don't judge the list. Just write it down first. Judging it will stop you cold.
Excellent.
Write it down.
ThinkBetterTimHerson.com. Thank you so much. As usual, it's Stephanie Staples encouraging you to live your life unlimited.